So many books, so little time. We're taking the hard work out for you and letting you know what's lit in literature. Every Thursday morning, Maggie will be joined by Juliet from Vic Books to talk new releases, poetry, fiction, local authors, and glossy coffee table books. Whether you're a seasoned bookworm or a recreational reader, there's something for you. Listen in on Thursday morning and feed your mind.
Very interested in feeding my mind. Thank you, Juliet.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi. And one of our books that we're going to talk about is exactly that. It's The Fate of Food.
I know.
And it looks like one of those, the illustration on the front looks like one, a book that your grandmother might have. It's a beautiful, timely photo of a lemon branch, but at the bottom it looks like there's a USB port to kind of stick it into your computer.
Yeah.
So we've got these kind of interesting ideas about the future of food, and I guess the narrative that maybe we're all running out of it and the global resurgence of storing it again.
Yeah, definitely. At first glance, this book looks like a lovely sort of Elizabeth David type read, but that's a little bit misleading because it's really, you know, with global warming, the concern about what's happening to the climate and what we're going to eat in the future is becoming more and more of a concern. And I've only just dived into this book, but even in the introduction, there's a piece about a guy who's a CEO of an American food company called Wises, and they make prepackaged dehydrated food. It was set up in Utah, and it's a Mormon company, and primarily its sales were to Mormons who were preparing for the end of the world and, you know, stockpiling food. But as more and more people have become concerned about their food source, more everyday Americans are stockpiling food in massive amounts because they're worried that they're not going to have enough food for their children in the very near future.
So such a fascinating premise to open the book with. Yep. And of course the author is Amanda Little. She's an environmental journalist and professor. So it's not just a kind of apocalyptic view of it.
It's
very detailed. But that's fascinating that that opening story. So it's not just for hunters going into the Uruwedas.
No, or for, you know, the zombie apocalypse. So really interesting. And there's a lot of books that are starting to come out on this topic now. There's another one called The Uninhabitable Earth by David Wallace. And there's real need for these books. People are really, they're flying off the shelves.
Okay, that looks like really interesting.
It's intelligent writing. It's not alarmist, although of course it is alarming. But, you know, just really fact-based writing.
And it's published by One World, retailing at $32.99.
Yes.
Now, Puffin the Architect, I think we're going to leave that for the very end. I'm really excited because Juliet's got a very special giveaway for us this morning. So do keep your ears peeled, folks, because you might be going home with a really lovely prize, especially if you've got children.
Yeah, definitely.
This one's for you, for the mums and dads of the world listening to Radioactive.
Yep. So now we'll go on to The Treaty of Waitangi by Toby Morris with Ross Kalman and Mark Derby. This is a mini graphic novel talking about the history of, describing the history of the Treaty of Waitangi. It was published, or it's a school journal basically, published through the Ministry of Education, and it's and Toby has done the illustrations for it. And it's English on one side, and then you flip it and it's in Te Reo Māori on the other side. And it's in every year 7 and 8 class now in New Zealand.
It's absolutely glorious looking. I love that it's been republished because it's something that that I want to pick up and read. Just making the treaty something that we need to focus on.
Yeah, and I read it last night and I learned some things.
And your son did too.
I asked my 13-year-old son to read it too. And to begin with, he was fairly sort of non-committal about it, but we had a good conversation about it later and about what other things, implications a treaty have had in terms of how Māori participated in the world wars as well. So,
A year 7 and 8 understanding of the treaty is like quite impressive, yeah, considering that there's still a lot to be learned just within that book alone.
Well, that's right.
So it's a refresher, essentially.
Yeah, and what it really does talk about the differences between the English and the Tereo versions, and how, you know, goes through from when Polynesians were first here and then when Pākehā started to arrive, through to the signing of the treaty, to the New Zealand wars, into modern day, and how the Waitangi Tribunal was set up, and how to begin with it was just about present day, and then it became about historical grievances as well, and which has obviously led to some of the land going back and those things. But it's a really honest look at saying, look, these things have happened. If we can be honest about it, it helps us find a way to move forward as well.
And a bit of a background on Toby Morris.
Yeah, Toby Morris is a illustrator, and he has written a book a couple of years ago, and I think it's called How to Be a Dad, which was just about when he had young children. He started journaling every day, journaling as an illustrator, sort of chronicling what it was like to be a dad with small children, and that became a book, and just a really... you know, you don't hear that many voices of dads, I don't think. So
it's called Don't Puke on Your Dad.
Yeah. How could I forget that?
A graphic novel by him. But yeah, so that's cool. I love how that's become a real challenge for creatives, you know, making a song a day, writing a poem a day, or indeed doing an illustration a day, which I think in some ways for many would be more challenging.
Would be for me. Yeah. So this Treaty of Waitangi is only $20. And it was, the text in the Tereo version was developed by the Māori Language Commission. It was reviewed by Aotearoa's foremost Te Tiriti o Waitangi experts to reflect current scholarship. It fills a gap in the market for an accessible book about our founding treaty, and I think it's great that it's found a wider market and that it's just restricted to schools. It includes a link to both versions translated into 30 other languages and New Zealand Sign Language.
And it's absolutely beautiful. Only retailing at $20.
Yeah.
Half in Te Reo Māori and half in English.
Yeah. It's a must. You have to get it, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Ask Again, Yes. This is the new novel by Mary Beth King.
Yep. So this is our fiction pick for the year. The title is a little bit lame, I'd have to say, but you know, it's sort of like, well, what is this? So Mary Beth Keane, she's an American writer. This is her third novel. I hadn't come across her before. This opens in New York City in 1973. It's two rookie cops. One's an Irish immigrant, and they're on the beat together. They're quite different characters, but they end up buying a house next door to each other in this sort of developing suburbs north of the city. Francis has a stellar career and sort of goes all the way through the police. The other guy, Brian, not so much. When Francis's wife moves into the house, she's like the only person on the street. She's expecting a baby. She's desperate for company. These people move in next door. She's like, great, I've got a friend here, but the woman doesn't want to be friends and is incredibly standoffish. So it's one of those situations where the couples, the children become friends, but the couples aren't. And then there's a horrific incident sort of about 20 years into the story, which impacts both families severely. And it's about mental illness. The neighbour, the sort of reclusive neighbour, is really struggling with her mental health, and there's this really just a tragic incident in the she goes to the deli on New Year's Eve to get her cold cuts, and she thinks that she takes her ticket and gets in the line, and she thinks that everyone's being served ahead of her and that they're all in cahoots, that she's not going to get the meat that she wants, and she just loses it. And her son is waiting in the car for her. And it's just such a sad tale. So then it's about that and about how the son, the impact of his mother's health on him. And it's about the daily intricacies of being married. And It's just really sort of beautifully told. It doesn't get overly sentimental. You never feel like you're being manipulated by the book. No one's perfect in this book, and it's all about how they deal with what happens next and what they did. So it's quite relatable in that way. So if you like family dramas, which are just...
outside your own?
Yeah, outside your own, which can be nice. Then I really recommend that.
Okay, Ask Again, Yes, by Mary Beth Keane. And what is that retailing for?
$37.
About 400 pages, so it's a good read.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if you take a day off work,
just
sit down and read that, you'll have a great day.
Yeah, beautiful. Sounds like it's got, there's a lot of empathy to be understood in that novel.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, and our final book for today, which also ties in with a delicious giveaway, so do keep your ears tuned if you're a mother or a father. Okay. Mm-hmm. Puffin the Architect.
So Puffin the Architect is a gorgeous illustrated children's picture book by Kimberly Andrews. She's Wellington based. It's up for two awards in the New Zealand Book Awards for Children and Young Adults, the Russell Clark Award for Illustration, and also in the picture book. This came out in about August last year. This is the first book that she has both written and illustrated, but she has illustrated an earlier book. Kimberly is also a biologist and a geologist, and she lives in a small house, i.e. a container house in Wellington. She also runs a business called Tumbleweed Tees, which are t-shirts and notebooks featuring New Zealand birds and wildlife. So she's very talented.
And she's fascinated by the bird that she's writing about.
Yeah. Now, this is about Puffin the Architect, whose clients are some pufflings, and they want a house. And so she goes through all the houses that she has made for her other clients, and none of them will do. And so eventually she hits on the house that they need, which needs to be by the sea. And it turns out, of course, that her clients, the pufflings, are her children, and that mum is the architect. And I've read a couple of stories about children's responses to this book, and when they get to the end of the book and they find out that the architect is a woman, they're like, oh, I didn't know a woman could be an architect. But that's sort of an unintended consequence of the book, because as I understand it, Kimberly didn't set out to write a book about, with the key feature being that, you know, women can be architects. It's just how, children's responses to the book. But it's just such a warm book, and it's the inspiration for the book. There's a website called The Sapling, which is conversations about children's books, and they've done a couple of features on this, and one of them is her inspiration for the book. And her favourite things are seeing puffins in the wild and the tiny house movement. So she wanted to include her favourite things as well, which are cross-sections, animals with hats, and clever storage. So all of those things are in this book. And so each spread has got a cross-section with a different animal and with cumulative clever features. And I just think it's just such a beautiful book. And there's 19 snails to find. So as you go, it's a book that you can read and reread, and it's just warm, and there's so much detail in those illustrations, and the rhyming prose is really fun to read, and you can really get into a rhythm with it.
Fantastic. And of course that's published by Penguin Random House as well, so we've got another bird theme running through here.
Yeah, so I think that has to be a strong contender for the
Book Awards, which will be announced in August.
Yes.
Of course, that is the New Zealand Book Awards for Children and Young Adults. And if you love children's books, maybe head along to Saplings, which you just recommended.
Yeah, it's really good.
To engage in some of that conversation.
Yeah, reviews, author profiles. There's a profile of Kimberly and her house and how she spends a day as an illustrator.
Ooh.
That's always really interesting.
Yeah.
Now, Kimberly is incredibly talented, and she's also the illustrator of a re-illustrated Joy Cowley picture book called Song of the River, which is a beautiful hardback published by Gecko Press. And we have got a copy that we would like to give away.
Fantastic. Give us a call on 0480 19089 and tell me a lovely story about why you need a book and maybe what your children's favourite book is. Of course, this is Song of the River by Joy Cowley, and it's illustrated by that lovely illustrator and writer now, Kimberly Adams.
Yeah,
thank
Andrews.
You so much.
Yeah.
Oh, Kimberly Andrews. Yeah. My, beg your pardon, Maggie.
So many books, so little time. We're taking the hard work out for you and letting you know what's lit in literature. Every Thursday morning, Maggie will be joined by Juliet from Vic Books to talk new releases, poetry, fiction, local authors, and glossy coffee table books. Whether you're a seasoned bookworm or a recreational reader, there's something for you. Listen in on Thursday morning and feed your mind.